Duke's bringing the company as soon as he can. He thinks the orcs will attack here.
Here? Why?
Pox recognized Piter, the innkeeper. She shook her head. It's too long to explain, but he's got reason. Be ready. Where's the mayor?
Do you know his house?
Asked Piter. Pox nodded.
Go, and I'll call out the rest. Do you know how many?
No, but the Duke thinks it will be a large force. Pox started up the lane, leading her horse. Behind her, she heard Piter directing the watch, then the clatter of boots as they went to rouse others. In the mayor's house, she found the Council of Dukes East, eating a late dinner. Kolya smiled as Pox came in, then sobered quickly as she gave her news.
When will the Duke come?
Asked Fontaine, looking worried. The cohorts were forming as I left, said Pox.
We can't hold a real force, he said. That bank is just to slow them down and give our watch a chance to fire one flight of arrows. We have fewer than 100 who can fight.
Most of the buildings are defensible, Kolya pointed out. The Dukes insisted on stone roofs as well as walls, and we can't be burned out. My cottage won't hold, but it's on the south bank anyway.
We'll move everyone but militia into a few of the strongest houses, the mayor said. Is there time to bring in any of the farm folk?
No, I suppose not. Forget the mill and the south bank buildings. We'll try to hold around the square. Pox had not met all the council before, and did not know who the heavy-set black-haired man was who spoke next.
I'll see to getting the south bank folk in, mayor.
Thanks, Tarn, said the mayor,
and the man went out quickly. The mayor turned to a man whose face was marked with a broad scar.
Vic, be sure the central houses are provisioned. Use the winter stores, if you have time to move them. They'll do us no good anyway if the orcs get them.
Aye, mayor. And what about slipping the millstones? If they burn the mill, it might crack the stones.
Good idea. Tell the miller that. Kolya.
I know. She was already near the door, with a last grin for Pox. The mayor clambered up stiffly and called upstairs to his wife.
Get out the horn, Arnie, and bring it down here.
He looked at Pox.
This house has too many doors. I'll send the family over to the square.
A glass had passed, and part of another. Pox waited at the northernmost angle of the bank around the Duke's East, listening, with the others, for any hint of the orcs' attack. They knew it would take the Duke's company another half glass at least, to march the distance in battle order, if the company met no enemy on the road. Behind, the village was as secure as it could be. All who could not fight crowded into the buildings that bordered the square, all of which had but one door each, and narrow windows easily defended. Those who could draw a bow were by the upstairs windows. Pox raised her head suddenly and sniffed. She heard nothing, but with a sense of unease came a sour stench on the wind.
They're coming,
she said to the man next to her. He was, as most of them were, one of the Duke's veterans, and limped badly from a wound taken the last year in Arrhenius. He'd been a farmer until the orcs burned out his farm. He grunted, passed the word to the man next in line, and drew his sword. She heard it rasp on the scabbard. They had torches ready to light, but until the enemy came, only widely scattered ones were lit. Pox felt something dire nearby. Her skin crawled. Something more than orcs moved in dark. She drew Tamarian's sword. The blade gleamed blue. Pox squinted into the wind. Was that a reflection? With a shout, she called on the High Lord, and light swept up from her upraised arm, pure white radiance revealing two of the spider figures only a few lengths away, and a mass of orcs behind them. Pox leaped for the top of the